everyone, and welcome back to Coming Facts. This week I passed 3,000 listens, which I think is really awesome, and I also charted for the first time, where I reached 127 in the British Mental Health Podcasts. So that's really cool. And to celebrate, I've chosen a subject which I hope allows a little bit of audience interaction, and that subject is chess. I'm going to try to talk through some of the most interesting bits of chess history, and I'm also going to share a small bit about how you can best move your pieces if you're playing a game. Now, the audience interaction bit is that you can go and challenge me at chess on chess.com. My username is ComingFacts with a capital C, a capital F, and no spaces. I've written it in the comments below. And let's play daily games where you can have at least a day to play your move, just in case more than one of you wants to play me at once. And if you do challenge me, let me know on the chess chat that you listen to the podcast. I'd really appreciate it. Now, are you ready? Let's begin. Chess was first seen around 600 AD, where it was played in Arabic cultures. The game would slowly spread through Europe and Asia, and the game began to evolve into the game we know today. One of the first true masters of the game was Ruy López, who was a Spanish priest in the 16th century. Today, one of the strongest openings in chess is named after him, the Ruy López, which is also one of the most popular openings for beginners and advanced players, as it leads to fun and open games. Skipping a lot of time and some very notable chess players, many of which have had mini openings and moves named after them, we arrive at the 1940s. Soviet Russia made it their goal to dominate world chess, and between 1948 and 2006, only Russian players held the official world championship title, with one exception: Bobby Fischer, a young American, emerged onto the scene in the 1970s, and it seemed like no one could stop him. In 1971, he turned up at two world-class chess tournaments and beat Mark Taimanov and then Bent Larsen, both 6-0, scoring no losses or draws. These were top world-class players, and completely sweeping the field like that is an unprecedented achievement. Even today, nothing like it has been seen since. This rate of winning would soon lead to a match which would captivate the entire world and is considered the match of the 20th century, when in 1972 he would play the current world champion, the Russian Boris Basky, for the world championship title. The match had great geopolitical ramifications. The US and Russia were in the middle of the Cold War, and it felt like the rivalry between the two nations was captured by this amazing spectacle. A chance for the US to knock Russia off the top of the chess world for the first time in many years. Both players faced huge pressure politically and in the press for them to win. The players were to play 24 games, with the overall victor crowned world champion. Fischer was very nervous. He would lose the first game due to an elementary mistake, and resigned the second game before it even started, and he really struggled to compose himself. He would return to the board 2-0 down against the current world chess champion, and mount what is considered one of the greatest comebacks of all time, to lead 12.5 to 8.5, where Spassky resigned with 3 games left to play. Having rushed to the top of the chess world in a turbulent few years, Bobby would refuse to play another game for the world championship title, choosing to bow out while on top. He vacated his title when the time came around for him to be challenged, giving it back to the Soviets, who would then continue to dominate the game into the 2000s. He would completely disappear from the chess world for 20 years, reappeared briefly in 1992 to play a public rematch against his old rival Spassky, would win this match again, and then disappear from chess entirely until his death at the age of 64. Today, we are living in the age of the Norwegian Magnus Carlsen, world champion since 2013 when he became world champion at 22, the second youngest ever after Bobby Fischer. Magnus has more or less dominated the game since, and nobody, the Russians included, seem to be able to touch him. Unlike Bobby, he seems unlikely to vacate his title anytime soon, and is a strong bet to maintain his stranglehold on chess for a very long time. Many consider him already to be the strongest player of all time, though Bobby Fischer fans may have something to say about that. So, all this stuff about chess sounds cool, and you already know how the pieces move. But you don't know why you're moving them, or how to go about actually trying to beat your opponent. Firstly, of course, the best way to learn is to go play more chess. Look up some lessons, and maybe buy a book or two if you really want to learn. And what I'm about to say will not come close to that level of learning. But hopefully, it will help. Firstly, don't worry about calculating a long, complicated plan. You can be an excellent chess player, only looking 2 to 3 moves ahead. If you know how to choose which piece to move where, the plan will often unfold itself. Knights, or horses, are most effective at the beginning of the game, before the game opens up. Move your knight forward early, and look to put a pawn high up on the board, which could support your knight close to the enemy. If you have a knight near the end of the game, though there are exceptions, it's normally less effective, so look to trade it off for bishops. Bishops like open games. Trapped behind pawns, it's a glorified pawn, but if it rules over a long diagonal, it's as good as a rook. Towards the beginning, except bishops will be less effective, but try to make them active anyway by moving your pawns to create longer diagonals for them to interact in the game. Maybe look to trade one of them with a knight to give you an early knight to on one advantage. However, if you have 2 bishops towards the end of the game as it opens up, you are in luck and should be able to dominate the slow knights. Rooks or castles are harder to get into the game early on, but if you can do so successfully, you will often deliver big blows. Rooks want open paths to the opposition territory, so look to create them, then put your rooks deep into the enemy territory. The attacking rooks will need supporting with the other rooks, queens, and maybe bishops and knights. If the rook can successfully break through, it will often win the game. Towards the end of the game, rooks are seriously good and can dominate an open board and checkmate the king, so they're great to have at the end. Knowing these differences, it's possible to trade pieces with your opponent and then shape the pawns and the rest of the board to suit the pieces you have left. This should help you succeed in making your pieces more active than your opponent's. A plan will unfold, and you'll better your chances of winning. There is a lot more to chess than this, but this should be more than enough to be getting started with. Remember, if any of you want to play me at chess, go to chess.com and look for the username CalmingFacts. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed it, then recommend me to your friends and just keep listening. The music today is called Compassion and is by George Sundancer. For the full attribution and a URL to his site, please see the comments below. I wish you all the best for the rest of the day, and if you're going to sleep, a wonderful night's sleep. Goodbye.